My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We are in the middle of our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat. Why did we call it that? Because the world wants us to retreat. They want us to water down truth. They want us to dull the sharp edges of the gospel. And we're determined to not retreat. In fact, we're determined to get even louder. Why? We want to exalt our King, and we want people to know our amazing Savior. We want churches strengthened. We want families to thrive. If that resonates with you, would you please consider joining us as a gospel partner right now during our spring match giving campaign, No Retreat, All Gifts Doubled. Right now, to learn more, visit fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in. I am Jimmy Hicks, and this is Wretched Radio. It's a Witness Wednesday, which means I'm in the studio and Todd is out on the campus today, and it is a beautiful day to be out there, is it not? Spring is finally here. The trees are budding. Students are filling the campus between classes, which means the opportunities are practically endless for the amount of conversations Todd will be able to have. Let's get out to the campus now and see who he's wrangled up.
This is Sammy Kai, and he's taller than you think. Dude, you play basketball, right?
Yeah.
Good on you. What position?
Guard.
Guard, which means you guard things.
Not quite. it's like, you can imagine.
Can you tell I don't know much about sports?
I think you probably know more than you put on.
But. Okay, you want to hear my story? Okay, I'm 6'4 and a half.
Okay.
This is why I don't play basketball. When I jump, I'm 6'5.
Really?
Yeah, I got no vertical.
I don't believe that.
No, dude, trust me, I can't jump. And all the skill that it requires, it's just, I can't handle it. I like a net between me and the opponent.
Do you play volleyball?
Tennis.
Okay.
Yeah, tennis. But you're in basketball. What are you studying here?
Electrical engineering.
That's smart. Dude, you're going to have a job forever, I think.
I hope so.
Well, I do too, because I hope AI doesn't steal it from me, because I think a lot of the fields that the people are studying for here are going to be compromised by AI.
Yeah.
All right. How old are you?
19.
You're young, dude. Yeah. So you're 19 years old. Tell me, this is a big philosophical question. What is the purpose of life?
So I'm not quite sure. What I do know is that I have limited time here and that I'm just here to make the best of it. Before you came to me, I was just taking it all in.
Yeah.
I have class soon, but I just think that now that spring is finally upon us, everything is blooming. And it's so beautiful here. And I was just taking a second to take in the fountain, take in all the blooming blossoms, take in the trees and just enjoy it.
Yeah. What is your philosophy of life? Is there a divine being? Is there a creator? Did we evolve? Did we get big banged? How did we get here?
I'm not quite sure, honestly.
Okay.
I think evolution makes the most sense to me. But I live my life like there is no divine being, like there is no purpose for any of us. It's all on me to decide what I'm going to do and just make the best of it while I can.
Okay, wouldn't that be a little nihilistic? Nihilism, which means nothing, there's really no point, there's no purpose. That, it kind of strikes me as a little bleak. Like, what's the point of playing basketball if there's no point in anything?
I just feel like there doesn't need to be a point to guide me. I think if it brings me joy, which it does, then I think that's good enough for me.
Okay. Let me see if I can persuade you to not think evolution is the best solution. And I'm going to do it using electrical engineering.
Okay,
you ready? All these buildings, they've got electricity, right? How did it get there?
I'm sure we have...
It had an electrical engineer.
That is true, yeah.
Okay, how do you know that?
because someone had to design the systems.
Exactly. Somebody had to design the system. I think that there's a creator because there's a creation. Somebody had to design this. It's just too intricate to have happened with a big bang. Explosions bring chaos. This is all orderly.
You're right.
I think there has to be a creator. That's my take. What do you think?
So I think when you talk about infinities, things that might seem, how should I say it? What's the right term for when you have such a long period of time, things that have a very small chance of happening will happen. So I think there's so many galaxies out there, so many just different chances for this to happen, that it had to happen at least once if you give it an infinite span of time. So I don't think it's that crazy that given an infinite amount of time, this happened, because I think all scenarios would end up happening given an infinite amount of time.
Then I'm going to drill down on that a little bit. What is time? Where does time reside? It doesn't.
I think it's just an inherent property.
Inherent property? It's only a marker system for us to kind of mark the order of things. But time isn't an entity. It doesn't have a power. It doesn't make things happen, is my point. Neither does chance. So you can add as much time as you want to, but if it's improbable, or better yet, impossible, doesn't matter how much time you have, it's still going to be impossible. Besides, if I said to you, you know, the electrical engineering that happened in there, it just took millions of years. You'd go, no, it didn't. In fact, you're kind of a knucklehead. Of course somebody engineered it and put it into these buildings, and it works. You know there's a designer because it is designed. I think it's that simple. It's the old watchmaker illustration. If you have a watch, you know there's a watchmaker. Your eye is more sophisticated than a watch. I don't think it could have happened all by itself. I think there's a creator. That's what I think.
Okay.
All right. That's my take on it. All right. So did you grow up in a religious home?
I did not.
You did not?
No.
So are you practicing any philosophical system other than just doing what makes you happy?
I do not.
Okay. Where did you get the idea that that is the right way to live? How did you come to that conclusion?
So I've talked with my dad before. My dad was raised Roman Catholic, but he, I guess, abandoned that once he got to college. And I think when you think about all these different religions, like, you could be born into any of them, and what I think they all have in common is that they all have their own value system. They all have a way of living. And at the end of the day, I don't think it matters too much what you believe in or who is the creator. If there is a creator, I guess I'll reach him one day. And if not, then that's fine with me, as long as I live my life with values that make it worth living.
All right, let's do a quick experiment, okay? Because I don't know how much time you have, and I want to honor that. But let's do a quick experiment, okay? I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Give me the pithiest answer you can, okay? Do you know what the gospel is?
I don't think I could give a good answer to that.
It's okay. It's the centerpiece of the Christian religion.
Okay.
It means good news. It's called gospel. It means good news. Do you know what the good news of Christianity is?
I might have a few ideas, but no.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it implies there's some bad news, all right? Here's the bad news of Christianity. And this, if nothing else today, you're gonna hear this and go, you know what, I think I at least understand Christianity. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So that will have been a good campus experience to at least get it, because billions of people believe it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal. All right, here's the bad news. That God exists, he's the creator, and his attributes, his character, is perfection. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. That's what he's about, moral perfection. And he's a judge, and he's going to judge the world. You know when you hear about crimes that are committed and somebody gets away with it, it's like, oh man, you shouldn't get away with that, especially if the crime were committed against you. You'd be like, I want some justice here. Well, God is all about justice. And he's going to have a day of justice where he brings everybody into his courtroom and opens up the books of their lives to assess if they are a criminal or if they're crime-free. So let's take a moment and do that with you for a second. Let's just imagine. Just use your imagination. You die, whenever that is. You appear before God, the judge of all the earth, the one who holds the universe and measures it with the span of his hand. He's big and powerful because he made the place. And he opens up the books on your life. What do you think his assessment would be of your moral uprightness?
Obviously, I'm not an unbiased judge of myself, but
right,
I'd like
true.
To think that I've done pretty well, that when I meet people, I treat them with kindness, with respect. I try to empathize with them, just understand where they're coming from, and give them patience with whatever they're doing with me, whether that just be a small interaction with them or whether I'm working with them for a long period of time. And I like to think that people leave their time with me with a good impression that I've added value to them.
All right. Now, let's just take a look at your life through the eyes of God, what he would see. We got to ask ourselves the question, how does the judge judge us? What's his standard? Is it just being nice to people, polite, letting a little old lady cut in front of the car, whatever? Or is it maybe higher than that? So for instance, have you in your life told any lies?
Of course.
Okay, agreed. So have I. So is everybody out here. Were you a perfect child?
Not in the slightest.
There's a story there. All right, so you didn't always honor your father and mother, right?
No.
Have you ever stolen anything? If it was like a big thing like a bank, don't say it now, but anything in your life.
Yeah.
The conversation will continue in just a moment because, you know, I've got to break in and interrupt. That's what I do best. But it's about to get serious. Todd has Sammy Kai standing on the edge of something the young man has never really thought about before. And the next few minutes are going to feel a lot longer than they actually are. Here's what I want to ask while we're away. If you're driving and listening to this young man wrestle with eternity, take the next few seconds and pray for him. Pray what the Spirit of God does, what no argument from Todd ever could. Witness Wednesday continues right after this on Wretched Radio. No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match Campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Know your church fathers.
Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote against heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are back here on Wretched Radio. It's a Witness Wednesday, and we continue. Todd is out on the campus of Georgia Tech today, and he is in the middle of a conversation with Sammy Kai. This is a smart kid. I believe he said electrical engineering is what he was studying, and he's just walked himself right into the bad news of Christianity.
So you've stolen things. All right, have you ever taken God's name in vain? In other words, you've just used it as kind of a four-letter filth word?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever looked at a woman with sexual thoughts and desires?
Yes.
All right. Because Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, sex outside of marriage. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in the heart. In other words, God's standard goes way deeper than what we do. He sees our thought life. And in lusting after somebody that we're not in that relationship with, sees it as adultery of the heart. Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Not so fast. Have you ever just been angry with somebody like, oh, you bleep, bleep, bleep?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all the time.
Our Jesus said that you're in danger of the judgment because that's akin to murder. Now, it's not the same as cutting somebody's head off, but it's the same heart attitude that we just, I want you off the planet, basically. All right. So that's God's standards, and he's got record of it all. So your thought life, word, deed, done in darkness, done in the light, he's got it all. Now remember, his character is just, and he's not going to let boys be boys. He's not going to let criminals slide. He must punish lawbreakers. Dude, what would he do with you on that day?
If he held everyone to this super high standard, I don't know if any of us would make it.
You are correct. I don't think anybody would. I know nobody would make it. Nobody would make it. You're right. That's what the Bible says. Everybody sins. They fall short of God's standard. You're right. Okay, so if he's just and he must punish lawbreakers, our eternity is very bleak. See, I think you got a soul. The thing that animates you is your soul. And Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? Your soul is precious. Your soul is more precious than your eyes. They're just the window to your soul. It's going to live on for forever. And if God judges you based on his standard, like me, dude, you're in big trouble, and so am I. Okay? Remember, though, that's the bad news of Christianity, because you got to have bad news before the good news. As best you can, you've bumped into Christians before, right? Maybe
yeah.
Somebody took you to a youth group thing, I don't know, you watched something on TV. That's the bad news. Now, see if you can tell me, what is the good news of Christianity?
This can be forgiven.
Okay, you're in the ballpark. Yes, keep going.
I couldn't give you... I'm not sure of what I'm saying, but if you... From what I've seen, if you, I guess, go to church, if you believe, if you spread the word, that if you, I guess, confess of your sins, then these things can't be forgiven.
Okay, you had a lot in there. Let me parse it a little bit, because some of it was more bad news, because doing good stuff, that's actually bad news, because I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and that's a command, and that's a law. But the good things that you may, you've got to confess your sins. Yeah, that's a part of what it means to become a Christian, but that doesn't explain the good news of Christianity. Here's the scenario. You and I are in trouble. We've got a rap sheet. We've got a criminal record that is a mile long, and God isn't going to dismiss our case, because if he did, he'd be unjust. He'd be a corrupt judge. But God is rich in mercy. God is love, the Bible says. He's love. He isn't loving. He actually is love. He embodies love, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, and he desires to save sinners. But there's a tension here. He must punish lawbreakers. He wants to forgive criminals. But if he just forgives the criminals, then he's unjust. So that can't be. So there must be something that relieves that tension. Here's the good news. You've heard of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's God in the flesh, came to this earth, And he kept all the laws that you and I broke. He kept them all. He never sass-mouthed his parents. He never looked with lust. He always told the truth, morally upright in every way. And then he did something. He marched to a cross, a Roman cross, and they just brutalized him. They arrested him because they thought that he was a threat. They stripped him naked. They punched him in the face repeatedly, hit him with a stick constantly, spit on him, mocked him, and then they beat him with something called a cat o' nine tails. Have you ever heard that term?
I have not.
Cat o' nine tails is like a really sophisticated whip. It's leather straps connected to a handle, so it's not just one whoosh, like a cowboy whip. It's multiple straps, and there's pottery and nails woven inside of the leather straps. They wrapped him around a pole, exposing his back, and whipped him with the cat o' nine tails. A lot of guys would just die because it rips through your skin, it rips through your muscles, and your organs just fall out, and you die. Well, he survived, but then they forced him to carry a piece of wood to a hill where they put nails in his hands and feet and hung him up in the air on a cross. I don't know if you've ever considered this, but do you know how you die when you hang on a cross? Do you know what the cause of death is?
Is it loss of blood?
That could be a part of it. Yes, sir, it could. But what will definitely take your life, even if you haven't lost blood, is you suffocate to death. Have you ever been in a swimming pool? You're in the shallow end, and then you start walking to the deep end, and you try to keep your head above water. And when it starts to get really, your head goes up, and what happens? You're like, I can't, really? That's what happens when you're hung on a cross. Just everything gets pulled up, and you can't breathe. So you basically suffocated to death. That was not purposeless. He was doing something. There was a cosmic transaction taking place. God the Father was pouring out his wrath, his anger, on his son. Why? Because he looked at his son as if he were you, the sinner, and he poured out his wrath to satisfy justice. So he looked at his son as if he were you, so that he can look at you as if you are the son. In other words, he can forgive your sins, dismiss your court case, because Jesus satisfies justice. That breaks the tension. Therefore, God can forgive you and still be just because justice has been satisfied. In other words, God in flesh came to this earth to die to rescue you. That's good news. Your court case can be dismissed, you can be forgiven, and more than that, you can actually be brought into an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. You can know Him, and He will love you because He actually desires a relationship. That's why He sent His Son, so that you could be brought into His presence and know God and be adopted by Him. That's the good news of the gospel. All right? Now you understand Christianity, right?
I do.
All right?
Thank you very much. This has been great.
Yeah. All right, but may I press you, though, and make it a little more personal?
Sure.
You understand it. What are you going to do with it?
I'm not quite sure currently what I'm going to do with it. I think this will help me understand where other Christians are coming from.
Right. So if you think about this today, and maybe it resonates, and I hope your conscience, you know what your conscience is, right?
I would imagine so.
It's the courtroom in your brain. It's the thing that either accuses you or says, I'm doing okay. It's your conscience. I would hope it would be convicted today. That you would say, I've fallen short. I haven't done it, and I'm in trouble with God. And then I hope you'll remember the good news that God died to rescue you, and He's willing to do it, and He's not going to do it by holding His nose and going, all right, I'll let him in, but I don't really like him. No, He rejoices when one sinner repents, and that's what you got to do. You got to repent and put your trust in Jesus. So I can't make you do that. I'm not going to sign you up for a cult because I'm not in one. I can't make you do anything, dude, but I would simply urge you as earnestly as I could, think about your soul. Think about your soul. Eternity is a long time, and your soul is precious. And besides, what better thing is there than knowing God? Is there really anything better than knowing and being known by the God who died to save sinners? Think about it with some urgency. You're young. Sometimes a young man your age will say, well, I'll just kind of wait till I die and deal with it. That misses the point, okay? This isn't just about escaping hell. This is about the kindness of God. You should put your trust in Jesus, not merely so you escape hell, but so that you can be in a relationship with the one who died to save you from hell. This is all about loving God and being loved by Him. That's what Christianity really is. So whatever form you've heard that doesn't describe that, it's not the right form. It's not what the Bible teaches. God wants to save you. So with some urgency today, all I can politely ask you to do is consider it. Would you?
I think I'll need to do some thinking, but yeah. I thank you for educating me.
Dude, you're a gentleman.
There's a moment in every one of these conversations where the air changes. And if you've listened to Witness Wednesday for any significant amount of time, you can pick up on where you think that moment is. I think Sammy Kai hit that somewhere right around the cat of nine tails. You can almost hear it in his voice. Todd just told him that eternity is an extremely long time and his soul is precious. There's really nothing much more we ourselves can do for Sammy from here other than pray for that young man and pray for him earnestly. We've got more Witness Wednesday still to come. This is Wretched Radio.